Thank you, everybody, for coming this evening. I appreciate finally the opportunity to come here after a couple of failed attempts that we attempted over the last 8-9 months since we've been here. Both Rabbi Bierfeld and Rabbi Zephyr for setting it up, and Rabbi Steinberg as well. Especially Yashikoach to the Beth Medrash group that has made it this evening as well. The tough speaking spots is the tshuva drasha, and it's particularly difficult to those that don't necessarily know as well. It's a little bit difficult to know which buttons to push and what the real issues are when they're not necessarily living in this neighborhood, but living a couple miles over. So, and from what I see, things seem to be working out pretty well. The Yanim are filled. Very nice showing in for Shiurim leading up to the Yom HaDin. There are outstanding chesed institutions that I haven't experienced in the various communities that I've lived before, and those are things that we should all be proud of. So what should we speak about? So a couple of weeks ago, I had a very small vacation. Now that we live here, so for vacation we can go to New York and actually see some things in New York that we never saw in the 25 years that we lived there prior. And we made a trip with my wife downtown to the Tenement Museum in the Lower East Side, and which gives a history of various groups that have lived throughout in that period. If you're Jewish, you could take the Jewish tour. If you're Irish, you could take the Irish tour. So we took the Jewish tour. And they show you a couple. What it is a couple of apartments. It's an apartment building that was laid dormant for about 50, 60 years after it was declared that no one could live there anymore. It's condemned. And then they opened it up and they refurbished it a little bit just to make it so that you could walk through and see what it was like. And part of the story that they tell you, they take you into a couple of apartments that were set up the way they were actually set up. I hope they weren't set up that way, because the mezuzah was on the wrong side of the door. But they take you through those and tell you the story of the families that lived there. And one of the things that they spoke about was Shmir Shabbos in the family. That at first, the first apartment they take you into is they were sewing in the apartment. And they spoke about how the father who lived in, the person who owned the apartment, so he closed on Shabbos. Even though it was a big difficulty for him, he happened to close on Shabbos, and his little factory that he had in a room the size between these two tables was closed. And that was a hardship for him, but he was able to manage to keep the traditions that he had from the previous time. Then they take you into the next apartment, and they point out that these people had the same profession. They were also weavers, but you don't see any sewing machines here. Why don't you see any sewing machines here? Because it was 20, 30 years later. And people had stopped making the garments in their apartments and had moved to big factories and sweatshops uptown. And that was a big problem, because the sweatshops were not as kind about Shmir Shabbos. And the people... Some people, they're not sure about the people in that apartment, but some people weren't able to keep Shabbos the way that they had hoped. So, that was an interesting experience. And then, as we were driving back, so I happened to be listening, and this story popped up on one of the shirim that I was listening to, that someone once came to Rav Moshe Feinstein and said, "Why is it that my children have all stopped keeping Shabbos? Don't my children know how much I suffered in order to make sure that Shabbos was maintained? I suffered. I got fired from this and I got fired from that. I couldn't get that job and I couldn't live in that building because I kept Shabbos. And why are my children not keeping it?" So Moshe turned to the man, and I would not have the guts to say this to a person, but Rav Moshe said, "It's because you suffered in order to keep the Shabbos. If you have been able to demonstrate a celebration of Shabbos for your children, so maybe things would have been different. But what happened? You came home, and you said, 'Oy vey, I can't believe we got to keep this Shabbos because whatever.' But we're going to do it. We're going to do it. But oy vey, if only I would, you know, I'd be able to do a lot more if we didn't keep it. But we're going to do it anyways. And if the child experienced that, so the child says, well, I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to keep the Shabbos, and I won't get all the things that my father had eventually hoped to get. So Moshe said, perhaps if you would have celebrated the Shabbos more, and if you had demonstrated a joy of the Shabbos and the happiness of the Shabbos, perhaps things would have been different. And as we talk about this time that we're in, so we talk about various tshuvas that are done, there's a Gemara in Yuma and Daf Pei Vav Amud Bei, a very famous Gemara where Reish Lakish makes a comment that he says, how great is tshuva? Amar Reish Lakish gedola tshuva shezdonos nase lo kishgagos. He says, how great is tshuva? Because if I do repentance, so all of those things that I did b'mezid, all of the averos that I did, all the sins that I did, they were on purpose when I did them. But how great is tshuva? Because all those things that I did on purpose, Hashem will not pretend, He'll make it as if they were done by accident. And okay, and everything will be okay going forward. I mean, it will all be wiped out, so to speak. All those things that I did wrong, I didn't really do them wrong, they're now b'shogeg, they're by accident. Things are going to be okay going forward. So the Gemara then asks, really, Reish Lakish said that? I heard a different statement from Reish Lakish. V'amar Reish Lakish gedola tshuva shezadonos nasos lo kizachuyos. He says, Reish Lakish said even more than that. Reish Lakish says, how great is tshuva that all of these adonos that I did, all of these sins that I did, even though I did those sins on purpose, I knew what I was doing and yet I did them anyways. I knew they were wrong and yet I did them even though I was wrong. They actually become zuchuyos. They actually become meritorious. They actually become, they don't just get erased. They actually get moved from one column to the other column. They get moved from the sins column to the schus column, to the merit column. And how does that work? So the Gemara answers. Lo kashya kan me'ava kan me'yira. He says that one of them is tshuva me'ava, and one is tshuva me'yira. Tshuva out of love versus tshuva out of fear. Implying what? The one where we take the tshuva turns our averos and makes them be erased, and makes them as if they are disappeared. So that's tshuva me'yira, that's tshuva that I do out of fear. Like, oy vey, the punishment is going to come, and something terrible is going to happen to me. I better figure out a way to erase those off my ledgers and make sure that they never really happen. However, how do I take my sins and turn them into zuchuyos? How do I take my sins and turn them into merits? So the Gemara says, if you do tshuva me'ava, if you do tshuva out of love, tshuva out of love, it goes from bad and actually ends up becoming good. So how does that work? First of all, what is tshuva me'ava and what is tshuva me'ira? So these may be terms that we've heard before, tshuva out of love versus tshuva out of fear. And we would all like to assume that we're doing tshuva me'ava. That sounds a lot better. First of all, it's a better deal because all the bad things become good things. And besides it being a better deal, it sounds like I'm not desperate. It actually gives me a little bit more self-esteem. I'm doing tshuva because I love the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I love God. So how do I find out if I'm doing tshuva me'ava versus if I'm doing tshuva me'ira? So the Ksav Sofer explains that, well, how are we spending our Yom HaDin? How are we spending? What are we writing down on our ledger? What are the things that we're keeping track of in terms of the things that I'm asking for a kapara, the things that I'm asking, that I'm trying to repent for? So Ksav Sofer says, if you look down your list and you see, well, I spoke Lashon Hara there, and I might have picked up a muksa thing there, and I got angry at my child one day, and that was bad. And if I start knocking down, I'm asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, please forgive me for all those sins that I've done. And my entire list of things that I'm asking God for are all things, please, I did this wrong. I'd like this to be erased. I'd like it to be as if it didn't happen. So it says the Ksav Sofer, that's tshuva me'ira. That's tshuva that I'm doing out of fear, because I'm afraid that if these things count, so then I'm going to be in a lot of trouble and I'm going to be punished for those things. Ksav Sofer says, what is tshuva me'ahava? How do I know if I'm repenting out of love? Because I love the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ksav Sofer says, Tshuva me'avo is I don't just ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive me for bad things that I've done, but I even ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me and aid me in improving things that I've done right. I turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I say, I came to my Daf Yomi Shir, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please allow me to retain all those different things and all the stories that I heard and all the Gemaras and all the learning that I did during the Daf Yomi Shir. And if I was able to go to davening, I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me daven with more kavan, and please let me understand my connection with you. These are all things I did right. I went to shul, I went to shir, I did chesed, I did all these things, and yet I still go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me improve on that. Please let it seem like I am doing, I want to do better. I want to do more than I've done last year. So if I want to do that, so that's not just because I'm afraid, but I'm not getting punished for those things. I'm not getting punished for going to the shir, even if I may not remember it. I'm not getting punished because I didn't daven with enough kavana. I may not be getting what I could, but why am I doing tshuva on that? I'm only doing tshuva on that thing because I want to improve myself, because I want to become closer with God, not because I'm afraid of a punishment. It's because I want to have that closer connection. I want to have that closer relationship. I want to be closer with God. I read a fascinating study for the last couple days. Just one of these things that pop up. That a professor in California decided to do a little bit of this. A college professor decided to do a little bit of a test on their students in the university. And he had them each, she had them all write a gratitude journal. Gratitude journal. They all had to spend once a day, they had to write down the one thing that they're thankful for. Just a very nice idea. One thing that you're thankful for. And she did a survey after a month and then of doing this. And those students all were 25% happier than comparable students that didn't keep this gratitude journal. And not only that, she did the same test a month later. They stopped keeping the journal. But she wanted to see if there was a lasting effect from this journal. And it turned out, yeah, a month later, those people that had kept this journal were still happier, still had better results than people that didn't keep this journal. So they said, wow, this is great. We should really encourage a lot of people to keep these gratitude journals, right? That sounds like a very good idea. So a different professor said, all right, well, I'm going to try this not on college students. I'm going to try this on 5th and 6th graders. So 5th and 6th graders all had to, not all of them, she took 10 classes or 11, whatever it was. 1/3 of the students kept this gratitude journal. 1/3 of the students did nothing. They just took the quiz. They just reported how they were feeling. And 1/3 of the students actually wrote down things that they, like hardships that they experienced the day before. Now, if I was a parent of that kid, I'd sue for whatever, but that's what happened. The reason there was no lawsuit after this is because they didn't see any difference in the results. That with 5th and 6th graders, there was a slight change with a 1%, a very small change that was enough for people to say, all right, it was a success, that way they could get another grant. But they ended up showing that after that, with the 5th and 6th graders, there was not that much of an improvement. So they scratched their heads, they stroked their beards, and said, what's going on here? Why did it not work with 5th and 6th graders in the same way that it worked with college students? The answer that they came up with is very interesting, because 5th and 6th graders at that age are attempting to find their own identity. They're attempting to find themselves, they're attempting to figure out who they are. So if you make them take a gratitude journal, so who are they going to be thankful to? They're thankful to their parents, they're thankful to their grandparents, they're thankful to their friends' parents, and they're thankful to that older brother who was able to sneak them into something they weren't supposed to, whatever it is that they were thankful for. So they ended up being thankful to that group. But that ended up being a little disheartening to them. That means that I can't do it on my own. It means that I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to grow on my own. So what about the college students? The college students already are pretty sure about who they are. And they're pretty sure about what they can do and what they can't do. So when they get a favor from somebody else, so then they are thankful to that other person, and therefore they could appreciate it more, and they build up that greater connection. So also for us, as we experience, as we approach the Yom HaDin, so we're very nervous, and we're very fearful. And why are we so nervous, and why are we so fearful? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so much over us. Because we're so little, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so big. And what are we going to do? There are things that I did wrong, and I am so nervous of what God is going to do to me, that forces me to then do tshuva meira, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of all those things. So how could I then turn and transfer that to being tshuva me'ava, tshuva out of love? How could I focus on those things? How could I focus on those things that I did well? I've done so many wrong things. How am I supposed to figure out the good things? So I think the answer is, I found the Medrash a couple of weeks ago that really helped me with this idea. Because it's a little difficult, because when you say, look back at your experience, look back at the things that you've done, and look at, you know, take a cheshbon ha-nefesh and figure out how we can improve. So then right away the thing that we think of are, well, what have I done wrong that I could do better? There's a Medrash that says at the end of Avram's life, it says, Va'Avraham Zakein Bav Bayamim, that Avraham had gotten older, he was coming more in days. So the Zohar says on that pasuk, Bav Bayamim, that Avraham was gaining more in days, that he was increasing himself, he was getting better. He was better than he was. That Avraham Avinu, at the end of his life, was still improving. And what was Avraham improving in? What did Avraham have to work on? He was that old. He had a pretty good life. So the Medrash tells us, based on a couple of psukim and mishlei, etc., that Avram was working on his tztaka. Avram was working on the chesed that he was doing for other people. Now keep in mind, this is the same Avraham that was makarev all those thousands of people. And it's the same Avraham that 3 days after getting his bris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had kept everybody away, but yet he had gone outside in order to welcome all these people, because how could it be that I'm not going to have guests this day? Right, it's the same Avram that had done so much chasadim for so many people, and yet at the end of his life, Avram was still saying, how am I going to get better at chesed? I said, aha, if Avram could still work on getting better in chesed, so I could still work on getting better at all those things that I could even say I'm good at. And now when I take a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and now when I look back at all the different things, I'm not necessarily, by saying I need to improve in something, I'm not saying I am bad at something, I'm saying I'm going to improve in something, because it's worthwhile to improve in it. And everything that I can improve in is good, and if I am improving, and I'm focusing on the idea that I'm improving, that is tshuva me'ava. I'm focusing on all those things, how can I get better? How can I get better across the board? I have heard an amazing story also, I'm still not sure what to do with this story. I heard the story that they asked Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, when Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was older. I said, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, what are you working on? What are you working on? Because there are some people, you meet them, and you wonder, like, how are they, like, they're perfect. They're tzaddik. They've made it. What was Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky working on towards the end of his life? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky answered, he said, I'm working on my midah of gaiva. I'm working on my midah of arrogance. And if you think about it, that's a very amazing insight, because what was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky doing towards the end of his life? So, he was learning at a Talmidim, he was continuing life. But any place he goes, here comes Harav, Hagoyin, Hatzadik, etc., 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 Yaakov Kamenetsky. So what did he feel he had to work on? He had to work on his gaiva. He had to work on getting better in it. It doesn't mean he was bad in it before. He was pretty good. He was pretty good. But that he always had something to continue to work on. But just to conclude the thoughts on tshuva me'ava versus tshuva me'ira, I share one famous thought from Yosef Soloveitchik that he shares on this. He says, what's tshuva me'ava versus tshuva me'ira? What's tshuva me'ira? Tshuva me'ira, as we said before, is when we take the bad things that I've done and I cross them off. I make them as if they didn't happen. I erase them and I make them gone. What's tshuva me'ava, says Rav Soloveitchik? It's when I took those bad things that I've done and I use them in order to get better. Tshuva me'ira is I want to just get rid of them. I'm afraid of a punishment. They're off. I want to make it as if they never happened, as if they don't exist. Tshuva me'ava is I'm going to use all of those events, all those things that I've done in the past, and even though they may have been bad, even though they may have been worthless, and even though it brought me down, what can I do to make those, what inspiration can I gain even from those low moments? What inspiration, how can I get better even though I sinned? Because I sinned, how can I use that to get better? Right, and that's what the Gemara means. Gedola tshuva, shezidonos nasos lo kizuchuyos. That your things that you did bad become merits because I have used those bad things to become an even better person later on. I have not erased them, but I have stepped on them. And I have stepped on them in order to achieve a higher level. And what is an example of that? So who is the one who made that statement? Who is the one who is talking about tshuva? So when talking about tshuva is Reish Lakish. And who is Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish does not have a very good past. Reish Lakish was the Rav Haganovim. He was the master of the robbers. And he was running, and the Gemara tells the story about how he was able to run to Rav Yochanan, and on the spot Rav Yochanan was able to Makarim, was able to turn Reish Lakish around, and was able to allow Reish Lakish to commit himself to a life of Torah mitzvahs, etc. That's what the Gemara tells in Bava Metzia. The very next Gemara, the next line, tells a story about how Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish were having a discussion in the Beis Medrash. They're having a dispute about at what point does a knife become roi l'makabel tuma? At what point does a knife become fit to become tameh? Meaning, at what point does the manufacturing process of a knife stop? So Rav Yochanan says, I know what time a manufacturing process stops. It stops when you take it out of the oven. When you take it out of the oven, you got a knife that's complete, right? It's all good to go. Reish Lakish says, no, Rav Yochanan, you're missing the final step. You're missing the final step because after they take it out of the oven, they dip it into water. Why do they dip it into water? So that could gain a little bit of a gleam. Why does it want a gleam? So that when you pull out your knife, the other person's going to get afraid. He's going to get scared, and they're going to run away. And that's all part of the godless of having a knife that will get people afraid. Rav Yochanan turns around to Reish Lakish and says, "Wow, that's pretty impressive." Baruch Hashem, he says, "You used your ganavim. You used your skills that you gained as being a ganav, as being a robber, and you've used that in order to paskin the halacha." Right, you're able to take those things that you've done bad and use them in order to focus on improvement. And that's a higher level. Not to just erase and not to cut out, but to go back all those things that I did wrong, not just to pretend they didn't happen, but why did they happen? Why did they happen? Why did I get angry that time? Or why was I late that time? Or why did I not tell the truth that time? Whatever, all those, why did it happen? And if I could analyze them and look back at them and use them to improve myself and use them to get better, we don't have to be afraid of getting better. We don't have to be afraid of looking for these things. Avraham Avinu could improve. We can stand to improve a little bit too. But if we use that in Yirsa Hashem, all of our Esronos will turn to Zekuyos. Yirsa Hashem will be Havik Siva Chasinato.